This is The Conversation. North Korea remains a global puzzle point and a dangerous one. Despite international pressure, the country has continued to conduct nuclear tests and fire missiles. But when it comes to communication, there's a lot that remains unclear. Retired Air Force Lieutenant General Dan Leaf has some perspective on this issue. He served as Deputy Commander of U.S. Pacific Command and has also been Director of the Daniel K. Inouye Asia-Pacific Center for Security Studies in Honolulu. I asked him for his view on the nature of communication with North Korea.
Well, it could work through unofficial or official channels, Bill. There is communication, I'm certain, between the two governments, probably sporadic. But as long as we have it, we should use it in the United States' interests.
And how important is that idea of direct communication, and is that something that needs to be on, if not a regular basis, but have some degree of routine to it?
I think it needs to have some degree of routine for when things become not routine, for when a crisis hits, when we're at a tipping point. If you haven't established channels, if you don't have somebody to call and you're trying to get a message across, either we are or North Korea is, then you're kind of at a loss. So I think it's very important, and it could yield progress that we haven't seen in recent years.
When it comes to the idea of progress and pushing things ahead with North Korea, what kind of an approach should the U.S. be taking at this point?
I think the approach should be fundamentally realistic and practical. We should have realistic expectations about communicating with North Korea. We're not going to solve the dilemma, the quandary of North Korea that's existed for decades with a single phone call or meeting, but we can make progress, and any progress made that gets us away from the very dangerous stalemate we currently have would be fundamentally good. I believe that. We also have to be realistic. These are North Koreans. They don't act by international norms in any regard. And they're often deceitful and don't adhere to what they might agree to. So we shouldn't expect them to suddenly change their behavior and be totally forthcoming and compliant in whatever agreements are reached. It's still worth talking.
And in terms of public commentary, and I'm thinking of the president at this point, but rhetoric, how dangerous or relatively not dangerous is the degree of rhetoric? Is this something that it's important to pay attention to, or is this something that's of less substance than may meet the eye?
I think it's of great substance, and I think it's fundamentally not dangerous, which may make me an outlier. The North Koreans have indicated publicly and through back channel that they're confused, that they don't know what to expect. And I'm pretty sure that's a good thing, that they can't expect business as usual and know that whatever action they get will get a predictable reaction from the United States. And secondly, we have to remember that the president's rhetoric is likely targeted at one audience and one audience only. He's talking to Kim Jong-un. He's not talking to white public radio or the American public or the world community. He's speaking to Kim Jong-un and saying, here's the deal. It isn't business as usual. I'm willing to consider new solutions, but I'm not willing to put up with your provocations on the basis that they've been executed for decades.
You know, speaking of things that have been executed for decades, certainly in varying degrees, sanctions. They have not seemed to be tremendously effective to this point, at least from the outside world. The Russians and the Chinese both have indicated they'd block any attempt to shut down oil shipments to North Korea. Short of that, what's your view of how we should look at sanctions when it comes to North Korea?
Well, it is. I have somewhat of a bifurcated view in that I don't think sanctions have worked or are likely to be a panacea for the situation, but they're absolutely necessary. They're absolutely necessary because the world community cannot say everything you're doing is fine, North Korea, whether it's nuclear weapons or human rights violations. and not impose some penalty. We have to impose penalties on the basis of their illegitimate withdrawal from the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. So the sanctions have to be there. But I don't think they're going to be the cure. They might be a small part of the cure.
There's also an argument, though, that says that sanctions that have the stronger the bite, the further that degree of isolation, the further that degree of, as you have mentioned, underlining a sense of victimhood, really, for Kim Jong-un.
Well, I think that sanctions against North Korea, while they may increase the degree of difficulty of getting funds for their weapons program or for whatever they might use them for, really serve some purpose for the North Korean leadership. In one sense, they increase isolation, and the more isolated the population is, the more dependent they are on the Kim dynasty for everything. In a second sense, they allow them to continue the narrative of victimhood that is fundamental to the regime's legitimacy with their population. North Korean government officials, the whole government, portrays itself as, first of all, the best answer, the right kind of communism, the solution to North Korea's problems, and it's only these outside parties that keep us from being successful. So they have to have that sense of victimhood for their legitimacy. And finally, I don't think they're likely to be fully effective because North Korea has found so many ways for decades to work around them. They get capital from a variety of sources. They traffic in narcotics. They print counterfeit money. They sell arms. They export, in essence, slave labor to Russia to do logging in, as a recent Associated Press article showed, to China to work in factories where the government takes up to 70% of their wages and sends it back to the government to use on whatever, I think probably nuclear weapons. And in that case, in the China case alone, it's estimated that that's $200 to $600 million a year. So those are totally unaffected by sanctions. And North Korea has found ways to work around the sanctions through those illicit means. Finally, I think the bottom line is that they're very resilient, the North Koreans. And sanctions cause privation in some sectors of, say, society and create challenges for the government in raising the funds they need to do whatever they're attempting to do. But the North Korean population is unbelievably resilient. And all we have to do is look at the famine of 1994 to 1998 and look at how they endured that. So sanctions would isolate and impoverish a nation that's already perhaps more isolated and impoverished than perhaps any nation on earth. I don't see that continuum progressing to a breaking point, and I'm not sure we want a breaking point.
Retired Lieutenant General Dan Leaf has served as Deputy Commander and Acting Commander of U.S. Pacific Command, currently Managing Director of Phase Minus One LLC, providing thought leadership in conflict resolution, national security, and defense technology. Thanks for joining us, sir.
My pleasure, Bill. Aloha, and best wishes for the pledge drive to all your listeners. This is a good time to pledge to a great resource for the community in Hawaii.
Thank you, and aloha.
Aloha.